We are studying Epistles of John, and I'm on page 39 in the John book. And tonight we are on 2 John 1, and we'll finish 2 and 3 John. They're very, very short. It's a lot of the same thing we've been saying, but I've been asked to go ahead and finish it out, so we're going to do that. The elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, for the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever, grace, mercy, and peace be with us from God the Father, from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. So John is writing to the elder or the bishop of the church under his oversight. Typically, at this point, a bishop is the head of a city. There are many house churches who have pastors, and they report to a bishop, the head of a city. He's the elder of the church in Ephesus, or the elder of the church in Colossus, or someplace like that. Paul started the missions in southern Galatia. When we talk about Peter in a little while, we'll be talking about northern Galatia, where Paul never did not go. But Paul started these, and then when he moved on to start other things, John came in behind him as the bishop over these cities in Asia Minor, which we call Turkey, southern Turkey, to be specific. And his message is in these epistles, as you know, is about truth and love. He's dealing with the threat of the Gnostic teachers who have come into the church and tried to redefine who God is, what makes up God, who the Son is. Plato had a well-defined system for God and the what we would call the Son, the Logos, the Word. We talked about this before. It was pretty weirded out in some ways. But like the Greeks and the Romans with their panoply of gods, their multitude of gods and whatever, Plato's system was an educated version of that. And these people have come in and tried to redefine those things. And it's showing up practically in terms of antinomianism, which means there is no law you really need to obey. Anything you do in the flesh is irrelevant because it's your relationship in the spirit that counts. And several different expressions of that philosophy. One is Stoicism or asceticism, which tries to avoid all contact with the physical world and an enjoyment of the physical world. And the other, the Epicureans, those people, hedonists, who are basically saying it doesn't matter what you do, so eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, we might as well. Those kinds of laws don't matter. It's all about knowing, Gnostic, knowing the right understanding of who God is. In other words, a doctrinal-based scenario about how you relate to God in the spirit. We get people coming in saying all these rules and stuff you live by are just unimportant, like who you sleep with, morality, honesty, those kind of things. In business, you would see people going, you know, you can lie in business because it's, you know, caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. It doesn't matter about telling the truth. It's business. You know, the mafia used to say that. It's nothing personal, it's business. What? You just blew his brains out and you're saying it's nothing personal? It's just business. Or in our society today where people are sleeping all over the place with anybody they want to, as just a sign of friendship, antinomianism. So he's writing to the bishop of these churches in Asia Minor, to that bishop's oversight. He calls the church the lady and the people of the church her children. Remember, John has this whole nomenclature in which he talks about the believers in terms of hierarchical steps of development. Paideia, you know, students, technia, paideia, neoniskoi, paternus, as they become more mature. He says to the people of this church that he loves them as should all true believers, because they're upright, because they're following the Jesus they were taught about. He writes for the sake of the true gospel, teaching which abides in or lives in us and will be with us forever. The truth will always be true. John prays in truth and love, his two main themes for grace and mercy and peace, from the Father and the Son, Jesus the Messiah. You remember, John is making the point that the Father and the Son are one. The Father did not create the Son. The Father and the Son were one, always were always one, as opposed to the Gnostic thinking. And he is making the claim that Jesus is the Son of God. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received a commandment to do from the Father. Now I ask you, lady, not as writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. So from the beginning, it's been about love. Jesus came into their midst, and he went among the ordinary common people, and he showed them God's love. He came and said to them, God loves you. He cares for you. Yeah, there's a certain way you should live, and you're not living that way, but God loves you. And you'd be happier if you lived that way. You should live that way. I'll teach you what is right and what's true, but I want you to know that God loves you. As opposed to the religious system of his day that basically said, if you don't do what it is we tell you to do, you're going to suffer mightily, and you need to keep the law, and you need to do all this kind of stuff. And Jesus redefined for them who God was. I said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. God cares about things I care about. I and the Father are one. My values are his values. Not like these religious leaders who are the sons of their father, the devil, who travel land and sea to make a single convert. When they do, you make them twice the child of hell they are. Truth and love. Grace and mercy. So I was glad to find some of your children walking in the truth. And I'm reminding you, not as a new commandment, but as the original one, that you love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the big commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. With the two great commandments, put God first, love God. And then take care of your neighbor, love people. That's the two great commandments. That's the beginning of it all. It's the end of it all. It's the circle of it all. And if you do those things, you won't steal. You won't steal from your neighbor who you love. You won't lie to your neighbor who you love, et cetera, et cetera. These other commandments are just tutors to teach us how to work through the call to love and honor and cherish other people and God. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. So false teachers have come in who do not acknowledge the Messiah as coming in the flesh. We talked about this, right? They're saying that Jesus only appeared to be divine. Docetism seemed to be. That he wasn't really divine. Or they said maybe he became divine after his baptism and it quit being divine in the Garden of Gethsemane. Or that he put on divinity. That he was adopted. But he was not really divine. They're saying he was really human, but not divine. Or some of them said he was really divine, but only appeared to be human. So it's just two different versions of the same theory. I mean, two different ways of approaching the same thing. God would never join humanity, material world, and divinity. So he's either one or the other. He's either divine, but appears to be human, or more often he's human but appears to be divine. It just depends on which side of the coin they came down on. You know, the whole point of the Trinitarian thing is that God and the Father and the Son are all one, have been from the beginning. Arius, one of the largest, most effective of the heretics in the early church, said there was a time when the Son of God was not. It was one of his short ways of saying it. There was a time when the Son of God was not. Because God made him. So before God was eternal, the Father was eternal, but the Son was a time when he was not. Not Jesus, the Son of God. The pre-incarnate Son of God, second person of the Trinity, what we call. There was a time when he was not.
So that was Arius.
And remember, at one point in time, over half the Christian church was Arian. Marcion was another big one. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments given us from the beginning by Jesus and by God. So we demonstrate that we love God by putting him first and by putting our neighbor ahead of ourselves. Love is a requirement, not a capricious feeling. Nobody's asking you to feel warm and fuzzy toward someone. They're just asking you to demonstrate that they are someone you love and care for by your actions. We are commanded to walk in it by obedience, whether we feel it or not. So many deceivers have gone out. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. He's not talking about the Antichrist at the end time at this point. He's talking about anybody who comes and teaches against Christ is an Antichrist. Anybody who's teaching you that Jesus was not God, or God did not come in the flesh, which was their way of saying it. So he's talking about Docetism, Gnostic heresy. The Antichrist in John's epistles is John's term to describe anyone who opposes the teaching about and or the messianic ministry of Jesus. Watch yourselves that you might not lose what we have accomplished, but then you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. The one who goes too far. Be careful that you don't drift away from that which you were taught that was correct to the point where you lose it. Be careful that you do not lose your salvation, is what he's saying. John wants us to have a full reward when we stand before the throne of judgment. While we all can wander a bit from the truth, there are basic things we must do to be saved. And if we go too far astray, we do not walk in the teaching about Jesus. We do not any longer have God. So much for once saved, always saved. If we walk in the teaching of Jesus, which John defines as loving God and one another, then we have both the Father and the Son. We have eternal life and salvation. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your home. Do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. If someone comes to you with a gospel different than this, don't receive them as a teacher in your home. Having many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face that your joy may be made full. The children of your chosen sister greet you. The children of my church greet you. And there's a lot of things I want to say to you, but they just don't translate well to paper and pen. Some of it is strong words that I need to be in front of you so you can see that I love you even when I say strong words. You know, some of it you just can't make it felt the same way without being there. 3 John 1, smallest letter, smallest book of the Bible, 3 John. To the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, John writes 3 John to recommend two men and to warn them about a third one. These are people who are in their church, working among them, and he is recommending two of them and warning them about one of them. He writes to a man named Gaius. This is probably not the Gaius who was a former traveling companion of Paul, because if you read Paul's letters, you hear about a Gaius. But there's reasons to believe this is not that Gaius. This Gaius is a good friend and a co-worker of John. When John took over Paul's ministry in Asia Minor, Gaius was apparently a great support to him there. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. So I pray for you that you will be healthy and prosperous, even as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and bore witness to your truth. That is how you're walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, than to hear of my children walking in the truth. So he prays a blessing upon Gaius, faithful follower of the true gospel, an leader, an elder there. He prays that he has physical health and be as good as his spiritual health would be. Your spiritual healthy, I pray that you be physically healthy. Word has reached John of Gaius' faithfulness to the true gospel. He's always happy when his children are faithful to truth. He's relating to Gaius, one of my children, as one of his converts. Beloved, you're acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, especially when they are strangers. And they bear witness to your love before the church, and you will do well to send them on away in a manner worthy of God. So as one of the leaders of the church, people come through and you have a reputation for being kind to them and blessing them and caring for them when they are faithful to the truth. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men that we may be fellow workers with the truth. So when the evangelists come through from me or Paul, you have supported them and helped them, because the Gentiles, they don't have a salary. They're just coming through, and it's good that you're doing that. Gaius is both faithful in doctrine, but he's also hospitable to others. As a man who embraces both truth and love, he is the poster child for John's message. He supports traveling ministers financially. These ministers have not sold their gospel for money, and so we ought to support them and be fellow workers with the truth, says John. Now, so much for Gaius. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. So there is another leader in your church named Diotrephes, and I hear that he is resisting what I'm saying to you. He's joined the Gnostics. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. And not satisfied with this, neither does he himself receive the brethren. He forbid those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. Diotrephes is trying to seduce the church in his direction. He's resisting anybody who stands up to him and anybody who comes from me. He rejects my pastoral letters, refuses to see my emissaries, and forbids others to do so as well. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who is good is of God, and the one who is evil has not seen God. Now, Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone. From the truth itself, we also bear witness, and you know that our witness is true. Demetrius, my messenger, came, and he was received by you, and you can trust Demetrius. Our witness, our letter bearer, is a good man. Imitate him, he is good. Do not imitate evil men like Diotrephes. Those who do good are of God, are born again. Those who do evil are not born again. Demetrius is said by all to be a good man. His walk aligns with the true gospel. We bear witness to him that he is true. And you know that our witness is from God. We, whom's John, we bear witness to him. Now, I had many things to write to you, but I'm not willing to write them to you with pen and ink. Says the same thing he did at the end of the last letter. I'm coming. And when I come, I will say some things to you more directly. But I didn't want to write them down. I hope to see you shortly. We shall speak face to face. Peace to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. This is where the Quakers get their name. John calls the believers the friends. He's written 1 John, and he's talked in 1 John about sin and practicing sin. He's talked about truth and love. And he's going through all of that. In the 2 John, he particularly talks about the truth and love thing. And in the third letter, he sends it because he hears it stirring up trouble in the church, trying to lead people astray. Diotrephes, and Demetrius he's recommending. And Gaius, he's acknowledging Gaius. So that's what 3 John is about. And that's the end of the epistles of John. Any comments or questions about that?